Take your Bibles and turn to the New Testament, the book of Matthew, the 15th chapter. Now, as we examine this passage, I get an opportunity sometimes just to pick out a passage that I really, really like. All of it's inspired. There's not one that's more important than the other, but it just seems like that some of them really catch my attention more than others do. Heard that Jesus was coming to your town, your vicinity, your community. You knew about him. You knew that he'd been healing the sick. He'd been raising folks from the dead. He'd been healing people that were blind from their birth. He'd been casting out demons. And you heard that he was coming to your town, your location. And you had this situation in your life that you thought that if you could get that before Jesus, he'd take care of it. He would change that. So I asked my wife this question this week. If you had an opportunity to bring your situation before Jesus, what would it be? What would you bring before him? Would it be next month's electric bill? No, that you'll figure that out some way. What would it be? Would it be because you need another set of tires on your car? Would that do it? No, that you'll figure that one out. Something will come along. Something will take care of that. But something that's going to make a difference a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, eternity. Something that would make a difference for eternity. What would you bring before him? See, most of the time that when we get to thinking about our needs, it's most of the time they're pretty small. But there's people seated among us that may have desperate situations in their life. And that if they got an audience with Jesus, they know immediately what it is that they would bring before him. Max Lucado tells a story about a leper. And he defines the leper's life so vividly. He gives an illustration. Perhaps he's off in a distance and he's watching what used to be his family as they go about their business. The children that he once held in his lap and loved on and worked with and talked with, now he's an outcast and he can't even be among his own family. And the desire for that to be different, for that to be changed, is so magnificent, just so great. And he finally gets an audience with Jesus and he said, "Lord, you could, if you would, you could heal me. You could change all of that." And the Bible tells a story that most of us cannot understand because we don't understand leprosy, because no one would get about a leper. And the leper had to stand at a distance and say, "Unclean, unclean, Don't get close to me, I've got leprosy. It's contagious. But the Bible says that Jesus touched him. But you have to know the language, because it goes way beyond a touch. Jesus said, "I will." And if you get the impact of the language, you understand that Jesus embraced him. I will. Then we come to another story in the book of Matthew, where Jesus has sought a day of rest, a place of rest, if you would. He's got one group over here that wants to force him to be king and destroy the Romans. He's got another religious group over here that the first chance they get, they're going to kill him. And they're going to pay money to get someone to betray him. And everywhere he goes, he has people on every side. I mean, not 8 or 10 people. Thousands of people pressing up on him. The Bible says that at times he took a boat and he'd get in the boat and he'd push it out from the water, and that'd be his pulpit, and he'd stand in the boat and the people would gather on the seashore to listen to him preach. He fed thousands. He didn't feed 200 or 300. He fed 5,000, not including the women and the children. So maybe 15,000 or 20,000. And so he comes to a place to seek some relief from the pressure. Do you know the Bible says that he was tempted in all the ways that you and I are tempted, yet without sin? He got tired. He rested on the well when he met the woman on Jacob's well in Samaria. He was resting while the disciples went to McDonald's. And he was tired with his journey. He got hungry when the devil tempted him, said, "Make these stones bread." There was times that he was hungry. And he hurt just like you and I hurt. He had pain just like you and I have pain. When by his stripes we were healed. And when they nailed him to the cross, have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought what it would be like to lay down on a cross and have someone drive huge nails through your hands and your feet? And could you stand that? Well, he is searching for going to a place where the pressure maybe is not as great. So he chooses over in the region of Tyre and Sidon, a Gentile country among the Gentiles. Aren't you glad of that? Yeah, you are one. Me too. So in Matthew 15 and verse 21, I want you to stand with me as we give the only honor we know how to give to the Word of God. I mean, it's worth more honor than this. But it's something that we can do. We can honor the Word by this. Verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." And he answered her not a word. Now I want you to grab hold of this, because I believe that this is how the Lord deals with us. day after day. Now, I'm just going to tell you what to look for, just in case. He is pulling on her faith. He's pulling on her faith. You see, it's not that he didn't know what he was going to do, or that he didn't want to do this. He wants to pull her faith out. I wonder how we respond when we're given a choice about how to act in a certain situation. So the Lord pulls on our faith. And how do we respond? We get mad. We react to try to defend ourselves. We fail to turn it over to faith. Did you know it is impossible, the Bible says? It is impossible. He didn't say that sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work. He said that it was impossible to please God without faith. So he's pulling on her faith and he's pulling on your faith. Where did I get to? Verse 22, behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, now you need to grab hold of that. She didn't just say, here, give him this note. Have mercy on me, Lord. O Lord, thou son of David. She acknowledged who he was. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. Have you been there? Have you been there? And his disciples came and besought him. Oh, these boys always get it wrong. Gives me a lot of courage. It does something for me. I'm not the only one that always gets it wrong. They always get it wrong. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. Good night. Well, she is driving us crazy, for she crieth after us. That's the Landing translation there, just in the middle. And he answered and said, I am not sent. Now he's talking to the woman here. He's talking to the Gentile woman who has the child who is vexed with the devil. And he said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she just kept coming. And then she worshiped him. She fell at his feet, saying, Lord, help me. No one's ever done that to Jesus and he didn't respond. I guarantee you can't find any place where anyone has ever done that to Jesus and him not respond. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. What's he calling her? Gentile dog. Actually, the word that he used here is puppies. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the puppies, the dogs, eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, look at this. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You may be seated. Three things, first of all, that I want us to recognize about this passage. First of all, she recognized, verse 22, she recognized the source of her daughter's trouble. She's vexed with the devil. Now, I don't know if you figured this out yet or not, but your kid's trouble is not someone else. It's not somebody else's fault, the way that they act. Somewhere along the line, young people, you listen to me, somewhere along the line, you're going to have to take ownership for your actions. Mom and daddy can't just keep covering for you. And this woman knew the source of the need was the devil. Did you know that the Bible tells us that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power and spiritual wickedness in high places? No matter what you thought, people are not your problem. And what other people do or say, that's not your problem or my problem. My problem, well, I've got a couple of them. Matter of fact, Chuck Swindoll or David Jeremiah 1 told me on the radio, I wasn't talking to him personally, told me that one of my biggest problems was the guy that I shaved every morning.
That's right.
But I've got another one that's pretty big, and it's the devil. I fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power and spiritual wickedness in high places. So the devil is my problem, or is at least one of my problems. So I can't blame other people for what is going on in my own life. I'm going to have to take ownership sooner or later. I'm going to have to stand up and say, Lanny, you are your biggest problem. And I think that all of us have to recognize that. But we have to recognize also that we have an enemy, and that enemy is the devil, and he's out to kill, steal, and destroy in your family, in your life. Everything that is going on, he is out to kill, steal, and destroy that. And the Lord is pulling on your faith to pull that faith out. She recognized the source of her daughter's problem, vexed with the devil. Number two, she came to the right source for help. Jesus told the woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God and who was talking with you, you would ask me for a drink and I would give you living water. Here's the answer. Here's the living water. Here's the answer to all of our needs. Here is the water that you and I are thirsting after. It is that. Friend, it doesn't matter. You tried this job, it didn't satisfy you. You tried this woman, she didn't satisfy you. You've tried this situation, this dope or this alcohol or this situation, and none of those satisfy. Listen to me today. I know someone that'll satisfy your needs.
Amen.
And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He can meet your needs. He said, if you knew who it was that's talking to you, you'd ask me for a drink of water, and I'd give you living water that you'd never thirst again. Isn't that good stuff? That's good stuff, friends. And it is that need that every one of us has. It's that need. He's the fulfiller of our need. He has the living water that fulfills our need. Number three, she came with proper attitude. Verse 25. She fell at his feet. She didn't say, I'm a good guy. She didn't have a lot of brags to say, said, I've done a real good job, but here I've got this little deal. She didn't spend all of her time patting herself on her back. She humbled herself. And you and I need to humble ourselves. You know the Bible says, humble yourself before the mighty hand of the Lord, and he'll leave you there. No. He'll lift you up. He will lift you up. He'll lift you up. When does Christ respond to our cry for mercy with silence? Have you been there? Have you experienced that verse 23? Four occasions in the New Testament when Christ was silent to test the individual as here in order to draw out faith. Silence of rebuke against sin and hypocrisy in John the 8th chapter. You remember what went on there? A woman had been taken in adultery in the very act. And they asked Jesus for his opinion. Do you remember that story? Do you know what he did? He responded in silence. What did he do? He wrote on the ground. He didn't respond to them. And as they urged him, as they pressed on, he said, I'll tell you what. Those of you that are without sin, you cast the first stone. And the Bible says that, of course, they left. In Matthew 26, there's this silence of judgment. When Jesus hung on the cross, the crowd said, if you're really the Christ, bring yourself down. We'll believe it. Silence. Now, he wasn't completely silent on the cross. But when they asked him to prove who he was silent. I want us to look at the disciples' response to the cry of this lady in need. Now, folks, we don't want to do what the disciples did. I had a man that served with me at Tuckerman. He's a pastor now out in Seattle. But we went a lot of places together, did a lot of things, and he used to tell people that he was learning from me. But what he would say is, I'm learning everything not to do. Well, the disciples, when we look at this example, we know what not to do. The disciples' response was to send her away. Now, whether we want to admit it or not, if we have a situation that we don't know what to do with, most of the time, that's what we want to do is send that situation away. Let's say we had someone come through the back doors right now. And they're here to, maybe because they have a real desperate need. But they don't look like us, or smell like us, or act like us. They've never been in church before. They don't know what the protocol is. And maybe they just start talking. Out loud. Start going from person to person and asking for money or something like that. What would your first response be? What would my first response be? Send them away. Some of you big boys get a hold of him and drag him outside. We'll deal with him later. Send them away. If someone comes in to our presence and they do not believe as we believe, they're mixed up on the scripture. They've been taught from children the wrong thing. Our first response is not to stand up for the truth and what we know is the truth, but our first response is just, let's send them away so we don't have to deal with them. Now, the Bible tells you and me that we're always to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies in us. And so sending people away because they don't believe like you and I believe isn't the answer to our need. Even though it's my first response, it's really what I'd like to do. People come to talk to me and they're going to straighten me out. My first thought is send them away. those issues that the church doesn't want to deal with. Send her away. 1 Peter 3, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Do you and I as Baptists shun people of other religions? When the Jehovah's Witness knock on your door, do you not answer it? Be always ready to give an answer for the hope that lies in you. When the Mormons come to your door with their white shirts and their black ties and black slacks, do you not answer the door because you know who it is? Or you answer the door with the hope that lies in you because you have the answer to the Word of God and you can give them a witness and a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and how to know Christ as their personal Savior and how their life can be turned around and set on the right track and right road for Jesus. Her faith is tested here. It seems as if our Lord wants to discourage this woman. Look at the call for help, verse 22. Have mercy on me, son of David. A Jewish term. This is the call for help, verse 22. You remember when Peter, the disciples were out in the boat, and the storm was all about them, and they saw Jesus coming, walking on the water, and Peter says to Jesus, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come on the water. And the Lord said to Peter, you better stay in the boat, son. Is that right? No. He said, come on. Come on. Pulling at his faith. Come on. Come on. He could have said, Peter, This would change your life if you got out on the water, but I'm going to be in the boat in a little while. I want you to stay there. You imagine how Peter felt when he stepped out on the water and he felt the water take his weight. He did not sink, which would have been normal, but the water took his weight. And he stepped out. Now this is what people in the boat do. Oh, Peter, watch out. You're staggering a little over on the right. This left foot is a little deeper than the right foot is. Now they've never walked on water, but they've got all kinds of ways to tell other people how to walk on water. Come on. Come on. Step out. That's what he's doing to this lady. He's saying, come on. Come on. Keep asking. For the one that knocks, the door will be open. The one that asks is going to get the answer. He that seeks, finds. It's a principle of Scripture. Just keep knocking. Just keep seeking. In Revelation, the 20th chapter, there is a... Maybe I'm in the wrong chapter. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, is that 20 or 23? What is that? Not 23. Just 22 chapters. It's 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door unto me, I'll come in, sup with him, and he with me. You know, the action of the verb in that verse is that Jesus is continually knocking on our door. I stand. I continue to stand, is what the word says. I continue to stand, and I continue to knock. And you know, in the situation of the woman, he's continuing to pull at her faith. He's continuing to pull at her faith. In Romans, it tells us faith is one step at a time. From faith to faith. From faith to faith. When he pulls at my faith, when he says, Lanny, this is what you need to do. I can't do that. I'm too old. I can't do that. I don't have the facility to do that. I don't have the strength. I can't. Here, Lanny. Faith. The faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you see. Did I do that right? Are y'all listening? It's not things that you see, is it? It's things that you can't see. Faith is that you can't see. And so he pulls on her faith. He's pulling at her faith. And she's come with the right attitude. You and I need to come with the right attitude and the right action. Lord, help me. Verse 25. And fell at his feet. Crumbs from the master's table is sufficient. Now, I'm going to give you some good news today. This woman, and the Lord said, you have great faith. Actually, the word there is big faith. You got big faith. It's where we get our word mega from. You got mega faith. Lady, you got mega faith. You got big faith. Because he pulled it out. He pulled it out. And there it was. There was this discovery. And she says, crumbs from the master's table. He said, you don't take the bread and give it to the dogs, the Gentile dogs. You don't take this good stuff and give it to the dogs. She said, that's true. He said puppies. He used the word puppies there. And she uses the word puppies, and she says, or at least that's what they tell me, she says, but the little pups that are gathered around the table live off the crumbs that, and they survive off those crumbs. And what's she saying? I'm not asking for a big piece of bread. I'm not coming to you like one of the Jews would come. The little puppies live off the crumbs that fall from the table. The little puppies, are you getting it yet? The little puppies survive from the crumbs that fall from the table. You got great faith, he said. Just a crumb would heal my daughter that is demon possessed. Just a crumb from you. Just a crumb from you would heal my daughter. Are you getting it yet? Just a crumb from you would heal my daughter. I got good news. You got the whole piece of bread. You got all that Jesus is. He's given us himself. He died on the cross to pay our sin debt. He freely gives us all. He freely gives us all. There's an old preacher coming through the back door. And if I hadn't already preached, I'd ask him to preach. He's always late. No, he isn't always late. He's just late at Osage. Our service started at 10 o'clock. S.D. Hacker started this mission here 60 years ago. Let's give him a big hand. Come up here, S.D. I ain't going to give this up. Come up here. Some of you guys know this guy well. You were here. Some of you were children. Kenny and Mike. I can't believe they were ever children. God bless you, brother. We love you.
We do you all too.
God bless you. He was the man that was pastor at Alpena when Osage started in the old WPA building. And he was the man behind the movement that started this as a mission 50 years ago. You don't even look 50. Yeah, you do too. Listen, I know you guys want to visit with him. We're down to the invitation, brother. Now I want to ask you about that is going on in your life that you could lay before him. And he's told us how we do it. We do it humbly. And we cry out to him. And anyone that's ever cried out to him, he's responded. Amen. We're going to stand together. Brother Matt and our musicians are going to come. I'm going to give you an invitation to accept Christ as your Savior. If you're here today and not yet a Christian, we want to invite you to make that decision today for Christ. You're here today and God's dealt with your heart about becoming a part of this fellowship, either by transferring your letter here from another church of like faith and order, or following the Lord in baptism, by statement that you've been saved and scripturally baptized, whatever the pleasure of the church is concerning you. We'll give you an opportunity to make that decision today for Christ. There may be those of you here that need to just lay it before the Lord this morning. You got something, just like the old lady, that you need to lay before him. Experience his forgiveness, experience his healing, whatever that need is. As God deals with your heart, you come right now.